You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The India series is over. There's a lot to pick through. We're going to have a look at it all. This is Sri Lanka 99.94. Yeah, welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94. I'm Mark Machado from Murray End, and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vasudevan from the Papre. I'm in London. Estelle's in Sri Lanka. Estelle, the series against India is over. There was one win in the T20 series. There was no wins in the ODI series. There's a lot to get through over the next 20 minutes or so. Let's start at that third and final ODI. It couldn't have gone much worse for Sri Lanka. Lost by 317 runs. I was actually in Sri Lanka at the time. Me and you had cocktails the day before. We're looking forward to a Sri Lanka win. It just absolutely nothing went right. We'll get through it all the next 20 minutes, as I say, because there's people, there's all sorts of suggestions coming in. But what are your feelings, 3 days after it actually happened?
Yeah, I mean, what can you make of that loss, right? I mean, I think going into the series or going into this tour, you weren't expecting, I don't think a lot of people were expecting Sri Lanka to come away with two series wins, right? I would go as far as to say that I don't think anybody expected them to come away with even one series win. But given the performances in the T20s, particularly those first two games, and I mean, the third game was basically Surya Kumar Yadav taking it all away, right? So given the performance in the T20 series, I think there was a lot of hope or expectation in the ODIs. But I don't know. I mean, 317 runs. Dasun Shanaka at the end of the game said sometimes it happens, but it's never happened before. So, I mean, yeah, it's really tough to wrap your head around, particularly given the fact that, you know, the performance in the T20 series was kind of encouraging. The ODIs didn't start well. I felt like in patches, you could kind of see the potential of what they could achieve. But yeah, just, I mean, I don't know. Even 3 days later, I don't know what to make of that loss.
I mean, sometimes we lose. Like when we lost against Namibia, I was a bit like, let's not get too into it. Let's just, you know, draw a line under it. It was a bad performance. We know that all boys can play better. We know that there's a lot more to come. And we know, you know, I trust and believe them that they'll be able to turn it around. I suppose in that context, they turned it around enough to get out of that group and get into the kind of main bit of the World Cup. Normally, what we're used to seeing from this kind of Sri Lanka side is as the series goes on, they get stronger. That didn't appear to happen yet. If anything, it was the opposite, right? We thought beforehand that we were possibly a better 50-over team than we were a 20-over team. I mean, that's been discredited. I mean, the only thing you can kind of say is that India, when they're not playing in major tournaments, are probably the best white ball team in the world, especially when you play them in home conditions. And to top it all off, it felt like just about every Indian batsman was in some sort of form. I mean, like Kohli's innings will give me nightmares for the rest of my life. I'll be waking up randomly at 4 o'clock in the morning screaming about.
Yeah, and you know what? You're going to associate your last trip to Sri Lanka with that now. It's going to colour your memory of your last trip to Sri Lanka. So you're going to come back soon.
I'm going to have to come back soon, and they're going to have to be playing when I'm coming, and they're going to have to be winning. And I think at this current moment of time, Estelle, I don't think I can guarantee us a win against anyone in the world. So I've basically been left in limbo with this whole trip and this whole game. And I just don't know what to do. Because normally you go, right, we lost. Let's take the positives out first, then discuss the negatives. I mean, I can barely see any positives, right? I think the only slight positive is because, you know, at points it looked like maybe India might get a score in excess of 400, and we kept them down to 390. But basically, I'm basically saying in the 50 overs that we bowled, we managed to bowl about 8 or 9 really good overs. That's really what I'm saying. I mean, let's talk about Sri Lanka's batting, because it was just shocking. It was terrible. I don't think, you know, India bowled well, but they didn't bowl, we're going to get them all out for 79 well, right?
Yeah.
That was...
And 79, off the 79, 22 came from the last pair, Kasun Rajita and Lahiru Kumar. And like, I was just looking through the stats and I think Kasun Rajita got more runs than some of the top order batters, right?
Yeah.
Which I think if that doesn't define the batting performance, I don't know what will, because Kasun Rajita's highest score in international cricket is 17. And he made that in this series. And, you know, in 3 games, he got more runs than some of those top order batters or pure batters in the team. So just, and I know a lot of people are going to come back and say, look, you know, in 2 games, the bowlers conceded 370 and 390, which is fair, which is fair. The bowlers weren't great as well. But I think going into this series, you know, there's a huge gulf in quality between the sides. And that, if anything, India are going to dominate with the bat, right? Particularly in these conditions. But to be bowled out for 79 on a pitch where the other team got 390, I don't, like, what do you say about that, right?
I know there's a huge gulf in experience when you look at the amount of ODI games played by, cumulatively by India and cumulatively by the 11 that Sri Lanka had out. But ultimately, that 11 that took the field, they were all professional cricketers, and they've all got some degree of experience playing international cricket. Maybe a couple of them actually only had a couple of caps, but there should have been enough there to bat 50 overs. I think that's the bare minimum. I mean, because I don't mind if we've had a real good fist of it and we've got all out after 40 overs for, you know, 280 runs or whatever, and you've got it right. They tried something, it didn't work. But it was just the way in which they got out was just annoying me.
Yeah.
And I just thought, because what it is, Estelle, is I'm just, you know, I said this to you when I saw you in person. It's like, I just love them so much. I don't like to say anything negative about them. And I find that there's in the fandom, it can sometimes get a little bit toxic. And I don't think any of them go out to do it willingly, but sometimes they just need to think a little bit more about the game situation that they're in, right? I think we might need to take a quick break because I think I might be about to break down in tears.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about where we go from here. And who the standout performers were during the series.
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host 2 podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
If you're listening or watching live, I think we're on YouTube, leave us a comment and we'll discuss the comments at the end of the show. We are talking about Sri Lanka's series, ill-fated series to India, where they won 1 game in 6, lost all 3 ODIs. It seemed to get worse and worse as the tour went on. Estelle, there's lots been discussed about what the next steps appear to be for Sri Lanka. We won't see Sri Lanka in action now until they go to New Zealand in March. Obviously, we must consider that those conditions will be very foreign to most of our players. We've still got a young team. This is largely the side that was kind of put together after the senior players got dropped or didn't sign contracts, or, you know, whatever reason, some of our senior players haven't been involved in white ball cricket since 2020. There's a bit of discussion going on about whether it's time to bring some of those senior players back in. We've discussed, well, I say back in, I mean, Dinesh Chandimal was in the tour previous to this. He was in the he was in the squad for the Afghanistan series in England, in Sri Lanka in November. Where do you feel we are on this? Do you think that it's time to bring in, you know, do we need to, I'm not going to say, what do you think? Because I think that's an unfair question. And also, you're not the selector, so it doesn't really matter what me or you think. I mean, do you think, though, that we need to start asking the questions about bringing Chandimal, Matthews, possibly Pereira back into the setup?
In short, no. And my reasoning is, I think that would be a step backwards, because if you look at Sri Lanka's record previous to Dasun Chanaka's reign, the results aren't that much different, right? I mean, Sri Lanka has still been losing. And I just, to go back to India, Sri Lanka have never won a series there. Sri Lanka have lost a lot and lost heavily. Obviously, this is the heaviest loss. But I don't know if any of those three players being in that side would have made much of a difference on that tour. I mean, maybe instead of losing by 317, we would have lost by 250, which is a loss at the end of the day, right? I just feel that the decision that was taken to go towards, you know, building a team with a more youth-centric policy was a good one, because Sri Lanka needed to get with the times and evolve with the game, which wasn't done, I think, post-2015. And we've seen results from that. Just looking over the last 2 years, Sri Lanka's had a good record in ODI cricket in particular. I think in 2020, they were unbeaten in series, bilateral series. Of course, I think all four or three of them were in Sri Lanka. So you have to take that into account. And you're playing Afghanistan, Australia, who aren't that great in subcontinent conditions, Zimbabwe. So you have to take the opposition into account and the conditions. But I still think that things are moving in the right direction. The problem is, in Sri Lanka, everyone's expecting quick results. You're not going to have a team turn around in 2 years and win a World Cup, right? And let's be honest, the chances of winning Sri Lanka winning the World Cup in India are quite slim, if there is a chance at all, right? So I feel like going back to those players, it's a short-term fix. Matthews is not going to play six more years, right, to play the next World Cup. I'm saying he's not, but unlikely. I'm saying it's unlikely that any of those three are going to play six more years to play the next World Cup. So I feel like that would be a really short-term fix, which is not going to win us the World Cup anyway. So you might as well build the team you have and the players you have. And I think Sri Lanka does need a rethink in terms of the type of cricket they play, the type of pitches that are prepared in Sri Lanka, which ultimately, you know, affect us when we go overseas to places like India, where conditions are so batting friendly. And I mean, I guess we'll discuss this further on in the pod about how Sri Lanka struggles in batting friendly conditions. So I just think that going back or going to those three players who are, I mean, who've done a lot of great service to Sri Lanka. Matthews has been, I think, maybe one of the top three best all-rounders Sri Lanka ever produced. But at this moment, going back to them would be taking a step back, in my opinion.
It's interesting because a lot of the debate around team selection has been around strike rates and how to score quicker. One of the things that we've talked about is actually, you know, especially if you go back about a year ago, is that Sri Lanka was still kind of struggling, not a year ago, 18 months ago, they were still struggling in T20 to bat 20 overs. I'm quite confident they'd bat 20 overs in a T20 game much more often than not. In ODI cricket, batting more overs, you've got the anchor rolls are more important than the strike rate, almost, right? And it seems to me that that was one of the big areas that they kind of forgotten their basics in, if that makes sense. You know, the very basic, if you're chasing 390, is you're going to have to take this deep. You're going to have to take this really, really deep. Right. And I wonder if there's almost too much noise around upping your strike rate, playing aggressively. And actually, when it comes to 50-over cricket, we need to let some of our better batsmen who are still quite young and don't have the experience against the players that they're going to play against, we should still let them kind of lean into their natural games. And, you know, don't be upset if, you know, in the first 15, 20 overs, we're only going at 5 and over. Because hopefully, if we've got wickets in hand at the end, maybe we might be able to get over the line. It's all a learning curve, isn't it? It's interesting there. You know, you talked about batting for only pitches. The last two games, we absolutely fell over ourselves on what should have been good batting surfaces. You know, do we need to, as you say, is that something SLC should be looking into? Should they be creating more batting-friendly surfaces? I mean, I think the consensus should have been, or, you know, more likely was, if you can bat on unbatter-friendly surfaces, then you should be able to bat on batter-friendly surfaces. Maybe that's not quite true. Maybe it's they just need more experience. And I'm interested to see what happens when they go to New Zealand. Let's talk about this report that SLC are going to conduct. It sounds to me like everything is being questioned. Everything's been up in the air. I'll be honest, just because of the way that we know Sri Lanka cricket works, we know that you are never more than a bad series away from a total reset of absolutely everything. I got suspicious that this might happen after articles started appearing about player conduct during the World Cup, which happened just a couple of days before this final match. After that final game, they put a statement out saying that they are, you know, that they will be looking into asking people what went wrong. I'm worried that actually all the positive, all the good stuff that we've had might be undone.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way things work here, isn't it? I mean, I feel like somebody was just waiting to have this inquiry, and they were waiting for the team to do badly enough that they can bring it up. Because, you know, once they won the Asia Cup, no one can question what's going on, right? Because obviously something that they're doing is working. So nobody can question Dasun Chanakar's captaincy. Or, I mean, I don't think there are that many questions about Silverwood as yet. But there's a lot of questions on selection and particularly Chanakar's captaincy. But once they won the Asia Cup, everything flew out the window. Because, I mean, if they're bringing in the results, there's no point, trying to criticize them. But once those things, the results didn't go their way in the World Cup, then you kind of felt something was building up, and it's come up to this. You lose by 317 runs in an ODI. It's never happened before. It's a record loss. I understand if there are questions asked. But like you said, it's when you know how things work in the SLC setup and how things have worked in the past, it kind of makes you wonder whether they're just trying to find a scapegoat or trying to, you know, lay the blame on something instead of really, you know, looking inward and looking at what systematic changes that can be made to fix what's happened. Because this, you know, struggling in batting-friendly conditions is not a new thing for Sri Lanka. Look at the records. Look at the records. How many times has Sri Lanka crossed 300 in the last 3 years? Or, you know, 400, how many times have we crossed it, right? It's bound to be lower than the top nation. So those aren't to do with one team or one captain, right? It has to be a systematic issue. So those things really need to be looked into. If you want to find a real solution and you want to find a real answer, I think that's where you need to be looking.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I don't want to end on all this negativity. Let's look at something a bit positive. Let's talk about the players that have had, in some way, a good series.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I we'll be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
Estelle, before we get on to players who may have impressed you during the series, I just wanted to have a quick, I suppose, shout out to Ashwin Bandara and Jeffrey Van Der Say, who both managed to sprain their ACLs. It looked quite horrific. You never want to see that happen on a cricket pitch. And I think I can speak for everyone at 99.94 when we wish them both a stealthy and speedy recovery, and look forward to them both playing and cricket again. Terribly, you know, it's the, for me, what's really heartbreaking is both those players have been sitting about on the bench for so long. Ashwin, we just see him fielding constantly, but I was looking forward to watching him bat. It didn't happen for him, but hopefully he'll be back again with us shortly. Estelle, I'm going to pick my man off the series. I'm going to give a special mention to Nwindu Fernando, who came in and he did really well the second match, and actually his batting was probably the best of all the recognised batters. But my kind of man of the match, my man of the series, and obviously it's difficult because Sharma could put in some incredible performances as well. I'm going to give it to Kasun Rajtha, because I think he's somebody who's had to kind of fight quite hard for his place in the side, and every time he's had an opportunity, he's always taken it. And as you mentioned earlier, he really stood up with the bat as well.
I'm not going to name a man of the series because I don't know if anybody performed good well enough to get there. But yeah, I think Rajtha was. See, I mean, he went for seven and
big,
over.
Big slunk and hair and energy there for yeah.
Someone has to do it, Mark. yeah, I feel like, you know, you're right. He just kind of steps in and does a decent job whenever he's given an opportunity and whatever role he's given. Also thought Lahiru Kumar was good. I thought he should have played the T20s. I feel like he can do the role that Umran Malik has been doing. I know he goes for a few runs, but if he's picking up wickets for you, that's all you want, right? You want that enforcer. So Kumar in the last two ODIs, Rajtha, I think overall was decent. I won't say great. Dhananjay De Silva, I felt they should not have left him out in that third ODI. I feel like in the ODI cricket, he's a must-have in that side because of the value he offers with the ball. And he had a good innings in the first game as well. Overall on tour, Shanaka, I mean, he was fantastic in the T20s and in the first ODI. Hopefully, some good news for him from the IPL in the coming days. But yeah, not a lot.
So it sounds like you've got some inside information over there, Estelle.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm just hoping, wishful thinking.
I'm looking for, you know, I'm glad a lot of Sri Lankan cricketers have got an opportunity to go and play franchise cricket over the next few weeks. And I think that's absolutely brilliant for Sri Lanka. Because they'll learn new things, they'll be with new coaches, and also they'll might bring some money back to the island, which is desperately needed. But we won't get into the politics. Going to wrap this up. Before I do that, Yushant Dharmalingam has left a couple of messages. He says, as the game gets longer, the better teams get on top more. That was clear if you watched the ODI games against India. He's also said Sri Lankan's batting in white ball cricket is comically bad, but they need to bring back Matthews. We discussed this. Estelle doesn't think so. I'm going to keep my counsel on this. I'll wait for this SLC report.
You're playing it safe because someone's going to accuse you of getting paid by the players.
Yeah, of course. And I can tell you now I am not. And never will I be.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.